Blog Talk Radio.
I believe every word he said and all his promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your faith.
That's off of her debut CD entitled Miracles. And man, do we have a show in store for you. I need to get my words right. You know, a lot of times I get so many people emailing me and calling me with questions about the gospel and Christian music industry. So today's show is tailored around just that. It's a segment here on the Marketing Ministry Radio Show that we like to call Ask Alvin. So if you, our listeners, have questions about the gospel and Christian music industry and you want the answers, we have a man that has all that for you. He's none other than Alvin Williams. He's the president and CEO of A. Williams Entertainment. I like to call him Mr. Entertainment. He's also formerly known as working with the Gospel Music Channel, and he's just full of wisdom and information. So he's our special guest today. So you want to make sure that you tweet, text, call all your friends, every artist that you know, every independent label, and tell them to tune in to this show, because this is a show that you'll be able to get the answers to all your questions. We're going to open up our phone lines right now at 917-932-1720. Again, 917-932-1720. So you can call in with your questions for Alvin Williams. So with no further ado, we're going to bring our special guest on the line, Alvin Williams. Hey, Alvin, welcome to Marketing Ministries, the radio show.
Hey, how are you doing today, ma'am?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. How about you?
I can't complain either. If I did, nobody would listen.
They wouldn't. But we are so elated. We're overjoyed. All those good things that you are here with us, because we know, Alvin, if anyone has the answers, you do.
You're too kind, way too kind, but thank you.
So we want to kind of get right to the heart of the matter. You know, we have always have a lot of independent artists listening to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. And so I want to ask you, well, let me back up a little bit. For those that have kind of been living under a rock or those that are not familiar with you, tell our listeners, who is Alvin Williams?
Alvin Williams, from the industry professional standpoint, just to give you a broad stroke, a past experience as a producer, songwriter, as well as an A&R for Word Records, worked with Shirley Caesar, Marvin Winans, Winans Phase 2, Amy Grant, the list goes on at Word. And from Word Records, I worked with Matthew Knows, who I created Music World Gospel, Michelle Williams, Ramaya, the Fighting Temptation soundtrack. Is the same label that is still successful after I created that label with Brian Courtney, Wilson, Trinity 5-7. And then from there, I did some independent marketing, promotion, and consulting. In between that, I was brought on to Gospel Music Channel. I was the sixth employee hired over there. And from there, learned everything you need to know about a cable network, launching a network, launched a cable network from zero household to 47 million households. And now I am running my own company, working with my wife as well on her new project, children's project called My Destiny Place, which airs on three networks in the U.S. and worldwide, and we're releasing her first DVD April the 19th, and I just finished producing my first film called Dreams the Movie that stars Terry Vaughn, Tommy Ford, Mel Jackson, Vicky Winans, Angie Stone, Marvin Winans Jr., and some other great talent. So that's pretty much to sum it up, my professional background from past to present.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, God has really, really blessed you. Excuse me. And I think with a resume like that, Alvin, it really qualifies you to, and I know you wouldn't say this about yourself, so I'm going to say it, that that really qualifies you as an industry expert.
It actually keeps me on my toes, every aspect of the entertainment industry I'm working with every day, even though if I'm working on a film, I'm still working with the music aspect every day, clearance, licensing, producing, writing, just listening, sync license for the film, as well as for the television show, My Destiny Place, the same thing. So, you know, the music and the visual arts, if you will, go hand in hand. So you have to stay, it's the same business, but typically, you know, different terminology.
Absolutely. Now, as I was saying earlier, before I asked you to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you have accomplished, and God has allowed you to accomplish many great things, but we always have a lot of independent artists listening to our show. And, of course, I just want to remind our listeners, as our phone lines are filling up, that our lines are open at 917-932-1720. If you have a question for Alvin, all you have to do is just press the number 1, and we'll bring you on so that you can answer your question. But we have a lot of independent artists, Alvin. And so what are some of the basic foundational things that an artist that's trying to make it in the music industry, what are some of the crucial things that they need to do?
One of the crucial things they need to do is really to sit down and figure out through prayer, talking to God, if this is something they really want to do, because it's not an easy task at all, and really evaluate where you are. If you are praising on a praise ministry, singing every Sunday, if you're a solo artist or if you have a band, just understand if you want to keep it as a ministry or if you want to take your ministry into the business realm, because it's two different things. You're using the music industry in hopes to finance your ministry so you could take your music ministry full time and it can sustain you. But it's a call for investment. And if you want to do it, evaluate if you have what it takes, the means, the relationships to save up money in order to work two or three projects. Not one project is just going to put you on the scene. It's going to take multiple projects. So when I say save money, not only you need to save money to record a project, you need to save money to work your project. And on marketing and promotion. So you really got to evaluate this as a business and not just as a ministry. For example, if you look at Vashawn Mitchell, who has the number one record on the gospel charts, well, he had the number one record on the gospel charts. I don't know if it still is or not. I didn't look at the charts this week. But nonetheless, he had two or three projects out in the marketplace. He was signed to Todd Scott Records before you even heard of him over at EMI. So, you know, you do one project to introduce yourself into the marketplace. You do another project to build on its success. And then hopefully by the time you get to the third project, you really have some momentum build up. But I say that it's the entry, there's a low entry into the music industry. It's not as high as it used to be back in the day due to technology, which is a whole different animal in itself. So I would say really evaluate if this is what you want to do, because it's going to take time and money to penetrate the market, to get on the road, to be a successful artist where your gift can sustain you on a regular basis.
Now, it was something key that you said, Alvin, because, you know, in doing what I do, which is marketing and promotions, I meet a lot of artists, and I have a lot of artists, you know, that is on my company roster. And sometimes, you know, they really think that the crucial point is for them to get their CD done. You know, independent artists do not think about the marketing and the promotional dollars that it takes to get a project out there. So share with our listeners a little bit about that component. What all does it entail when you're talking about marketing and promotions? Because, you know, after, in my opinion, you know, doing the CD, that's the easy part. It takes a lot of money to market and promote a project.
Right.
So share with our listeners about that.
You know what? If I had to pull out the minimum number to successfully work a project for 9 months, because that's how long it takes to work a record at radio. It's just one single at radio, and to penetrate the marketplace with a publicist is $50,000. On the low end, with hiring a professional radio promoter, it can cost anywhere from $1,200 to $2,500 a month, depending on what you want he or she to do. And that radio promoter is going to go out and specifically work radio to get your single on radio. If you pay that individual to set up radio tours, they will set up radio tours. But if I can stay on this point for a minute, when she set up radio tours, either you as the artist or you as the independent label, you have to pay for your artist to get to the radio tours that she set up. So not only on top of the $2,500 a month you make, you have to pay the additional expenses for that. When you send the single to radio, you got to pay for the manufacturing of the single, the envelope, the stamp that goes to the radio station. And that could be, depending on what you put in the envelope and how you do it, that can be anywhere from $1.20 to $3.20 per envelope. And if you have to service 200 radio stations, that's over, let's take the high end, $320 times 200 radio stations, that's $640 just on the mail out. Or even if you deliver the record digital, you can cut down on costs, but not all radio stations accept your single digital. And the reason why I continue to talk about radio in the gospel and the Christian industry is the primary source to get your music heard to the masses. Not online radio, but terrestrial, traditional, in-your-car radio is still the number one component. So you have radio calls, then you have a publicist. A qualified publicist with connection is going to cost you on the low end, if you can call in favors, anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 a month on the low end. And you're going to need that publicist for at least a good 6 to 9 months to work your project. So, for example, if you live in Nashville, Tennessee, and you release a project and your publicist books you in for media in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Good Day Atlanta, on AJC a newspaper, at Praise 97.5, Coco Brother, Larry Tinsley. She did her job by booking you, but if you're the artist or the label, you have to drive from Nashville to Atlanta, and it takes at least 2 days to cover all the media in Atlanta. So you're driving, then you got to pay for hotel rooms, then you got to pay for your meals, and if your publicist come, you got to fly your publicist in because you want her to come in to make sure everything goes smoothly. As a new artist, you're not going to know the political aspects, and you want to make sure everything goes smoothly. You want to concentrate on being an artist. So even when you hire your independents, there's still added expenses on top of that. So that's just a radio promoter and a publicist. And if you do have a marginal hit at radio, guess what? It's going to cost you more money at radio because now you hear a term, you got to chase a hit. If you have a marginal hit let's say 10 radio stations, let's say it's Memphis, Nashville, Atlanta, Jackson, Mississippi, Raleigh, Durham, Chicago, Detroit, New York, L.A., and Phoenix. So when you have a marginal hit, let's just go with a hit record, every radio station wants you to come in and be part of their promotion. They can have a joy fest. They can have a big gospel day where it's outside festival. Guess what? You got, in order to support that record, either you as the artist or the independent label is going to have to fly the artist out to all of these markets to support that single at radio. So sometimes the radio has budgets to fly you in, but you got to take care of your hotel. Sometimes they just have budgets to say, we'll take care of your hotel and ground transportation. You got to fly yourself in and pay for your food. So I say all that to say that's where the justification of spending the minimum of $50,000 just to promote your project and work one single.
Yeah, it takes a lot And that's why I wanted you to share with our listeners, you know, about that aspect of marketing and promotions. Because, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand, Alvin, just everything that, you know, that area entails. And, you know, we hear a lot of times that, especially independent artists, you know, they want to get it signed to a label so that they don't have to, you know, spend their own money, but not realizing that in the long haul you are spending your own money, because everything, you know, when you sign with the label, all that is recoupable. And that leads me into my next question. Share with our listeners about recoupable costs and what that is.
Recoupable costs is basically if you're an artist that's signed to an independent label or a major label, or even if you're indie, you have your own project. Any money that's spent out. Ooh, that sounds bad. Spent against.
I made a couple of scribblies myself, but we just go roll with it.
any money that is spent on in support of the project, the record label is going to get their money back before you see a dime. So if I'm a record label and I spent $30,000 on producing, on funding your project, you're not going to see a dime until I recoup my $30,000. So on top of that $30,000, if I send you to the Stellar Awards in support of your new project, if I send you to the NAACP Image Awards on support of your project, if I send you to Bishop Paul Morton's Full Gospel Regional Conference, and between those three conferences, if I spent $15,000, so $30,000 for your record plus $15,000 in marketing support I spent, I'm going to get my $45,000 back before you see a dime. Now, if you are an artist who has a track record and some type of leverage, you can negotiate where certain fees are 50% recoupable or non-recoupable, but you're going to have a serious track record. But they're still going to figure out how to recoup it from you anyway. So recoupable cost is basically before you see a dime, the record company is going to make their money back. And the record company will always, unless you just your project goes double plywood, they're gonna pretty much recoup their recoup from their record after they have sold anywhere from, you know, from 10 to 20,000 units. They recoup the record depending on how much they spent on the record. And now, the way that the label deals are going today to minimize their cost, labels are really not even spending money on producing records. They want you to deliver a full record. And then they want to license it. And labels have been known not even pay a licensing fee. So the game has totally changed the way it used to be. You can have a record deal and don't even get an advance anymore.
I know. And that leads me into my next question, Alvin, because I find so many new artists that are going to labels and they're doing 360 deals. Now, I know what that is, and you know what that is, but explain to our listeners what a 360 deal is and what the pros and cons of signing a 360 deal is.
A 360 deal is, and basically the history of the 360 deal is that when the physical goods, which is the physical CD that you find in the stores, started declining due to the shrinking marketplace and the increase of digital delivery, the labels weren't making the money they used to make, and that was the main revenue source for the record labels. So a 360 deal is basically, and actually, depending on what side of the fence you're on. So if I'm on the artist side of the fence, it's a horrible idea, but if I'm the record label side of the fence, it's a great idea. But being on the artist side of the fence, a new artist that is, I understand the 360 because the record label is, okay, you're a new artist, nobody knows you. So we're going to finance your brand and launch you into the marketplace. So if we're going to spend our money on the front end, we want to be able to generate revenue from your record sales, your digital sales, your touring sales, your merchandising, from if you do voiceover work, anywhere that the, in movies, so anywhere this artist is generating revenue, we're responsible for making you as an artist. We want to see anywhere from 10 to 20%, sometimes in dumb deals, 50%. So that's the nature of the 360 deal. A label is taking a piece of all your revenue streams.
Okay, and so as you stated earlier, depending on what side of the fence, of course it's good for, you know, the label, but is that something that in your opinion, you would recommend for an independent artist to do, or what would be the best way for them to proceed? Because me personally, I don't like 360 deals.
If you're a new artist and you go into a label, you really don't have a choice, because the labels are now, the significant labels are like, okay, if you only sign a 360 deal, thank you very much, we'll wait for the next artist. And if you're a new artist, in all fairness, sometimes I use the terminology, use the user, to enter. If you don't have nobody else at your table and you can't afford to put your project out, and if you pass on the deal, then your project is not going to get out, do the deal, but make it as short as possible. Try to negotiate some thresholds. If you sell X amount of units, then their percentage on the other ancillary revenues decrease. You know, you want to make sure you maintain rights on certain things. Now, there's certain things, in all fairness, that the label they don't have the infrastructure to collect on. For example, they want a piece of your merchandising to on the road. They basically got to go by what you report, because they have no means to fly somebody out while you're on the road, sit there, watch you sell, count your inventory, and say, okay, you sold $2,000 worth of merchandising, then you owe us this amount of money. And I'm not saying you set up the lot, but you can back out a lot of expenses. You can back out a lot of expenses before you report to them what you actually made. So there are creative financial ways to get around it. That's why when you have a seasoned manager, a seasoned lawyer, they can make sure that they negotiate a good deal. So if they try to get 5 years, try to do a 1+2 options. So it's 3 years, which they're going to always keep the upper hand that you can't just drop out a deal. They're going to always have to say so. If you do a 360 deal, if you can afford to produce your own record, then produce your own record and then do a licensing deal, a licensing 360 deal. Then that way at the end of the term, your masters revert back to you. So if you don't have anything going on for yourself, it's pretty much a 360 deal is what you're going to need. And take. It's not going to hurt you, because if they blow your brand up and then success after 3 years, three projects, once you finish, guess what? You got a name and you can capitalize on it. It's a lot of artists, and you can eat off of selling 15, 20,000 units on a regular basis and touring it and doing radio. So you can sustain yourself. So if you want to use somebody else's money to build your brand, do so.
Okay, now here's another question I have for you, and I just want to remind our listeners, because our phone queue is full. I see people in our chat room. Our phone lines are open, so if you have questions for Alvin, don't be afraid to ask. For those of you that are in the phone queue, just press the number 1 and we'll bring you right in. Number again is 917-932-1720. In the chat room, if you just want to email me your questions, and I'll be glad to ask Alvin on your behalf. Now, Alvin, you were saying for some of those, you know, when you talk about moving units and you say 15, 20,000 units, now the average independent artist doesn't move those kind of units. So what would you say to them? You know, a lot of times if they move 2 or 3,000, that's good for them.
It's good for them, but it also depends.
I mean, you know, I'm thinking as far from their perspective. I know it's not good as far as the industry, but, you know, in their thinking. But the average independent artist don't move 15,000, 20,000 units in a year.
if you're an independent artist, there's several ways you can look at that artist who sells 2,000 to 3,000 units. If that artist is selling 2,000 to 3,000 units in and around their hometown, then that's a significant number. And the reason why I say it's a significant number, then a label is going to say, okay, they're selling 2,000 to 3,000 units in their hometown, and they released four projects. And when I say their hometown, maybe within a 150 to 200 mile radius, then what they're going to do is like, okay, if this person is in this marketplace, then we can bleed over to this other marketplace. We might be able to get some more units out of their hometown. So they'll multiply at times 20 or 30 markets. So it's impressive if your hometown supports you. Now, if you sell 2,000 to 3,000 units over the course of a year all over the country, it's like, well, there's really no nucleus or core where you can really concentrate on to start a foundation to market a project. So it just depends on how and where they sell that 2,000. On that 2,000 units, is there a lot of, today, you know, they look at social analytics. What's on top of that 2,000? What's your Twitter follow? What's your Facebook? What's your gospel music spot? You know, all these social medias, they take that into account. What are your digital sales? What are you doing? So it just depends on what you're doing. And if you're doing 2,000 to 3,000 units in a year, it could be significant or it could be insignificant. But if you're selling 10 to 15,000 units, then you know, you're cooking with some grease, and if you can quantify those sales. But going back to that artist who sold 2,000 to 3,000 units, also, what is you have to ask yourself, how many projects have you sold? Have you just sold one? If you sold 2,000 to 3,000 units, that's good off your first project. But if you're on your third project and you just keep selling the same 2,000 to 3,000 units, then you may want to check yourself, because you're either doing the same thing or your music is flat, you're selling to the same people, and the buzz is not going past those same 2,000 to 3,000 people. So units call this industry is that I don't care about the music. I want to understand your sales. After I understand your sales, then I'm going to back up to your music. Because nine times out of ten, whatever record you're producing, I can produce it better. So what is your sale, and what is your buzz, and what is your fan base?
Now, you mentioned something about social media. And I know a lot of times independent artists get kind of caught up into social networking and that as marketing, which, you know, that's not really marketing. But how important is, you know, when you're talking about Facebook and Twitter, that, you know, labels are looking at, you know, your following on these sites. How important and what does that play into, you know, getting deals? How important are those aspects?
It's important and it's not important. You can have 5,000. Let's say you just set up an individual page. Like myself, I didn't know I should have set up a brand page or a product. Yeah, a fan page, because the individual page max out at 5,000. So let's say you're an artist and you set up a page and you maxed out. You have 5,000 friends and you just decided. But if you can't get those 5,000 friends to buy your product, they mean nothing. They mean nothing at all. If you got 3 million plays on your MySpace and you only downloaded 3 singles, those fans mean nothing. For a record industry, they want to see how much product have you moved, how many ticket sales have you moved. So when you put a prime example, there's an event called Urban Soul Cafe that promotes a lot of urban gospel events in the industry. Mm-hmm. Carlos uses strictly Facebook in his MySpace. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the events, they are sold out. So mm-hmm. So using social media to move the needle to sell product is the focus of social media. If you just got a whole bunch of friends, it don't mean anything. If I can jump out of gospel for a minute, the reason that Soulja Boy got a deal, not only he has so many fans on MySpace, they were downloading his single. And so when they were downloading his single, he can quantify based on sales, and he was offered a lucrative deal. And there's some other artists that's like that. You know, you have a lot of YouTube viewers. You have some people that are up to a million views a day just on the YouTube. A million views, not just a day, over a course of over a month. That's attractive numbers. And another thing what makes it not attractive is I can go online and buy software for Facebook, Twitter, in MySpace, and pay a monthly fee, and it'll sit and generate names and connections every day without me being there. So there's a lot of software that will give you false fans that's on there. So you got to have rabbit fans that activate.
Yeah, you're talking about the friend finders that people use.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That really don't bring, you know, that don't really do you any good. But you know, those kind of things can get you banned off the social media sites, you know. So
yes, they can.
Uh-huh, they can. They're not really, you know, things that, you know, Alvin, people make all kind of things for people to use, but they're really not, you know, legal, or they have the permission of the social media sites, you know, to use those kind of things.
Right.
Now, when you look at artists, and you just explain how, you know, how to utilize social media, because I know I tell my clients all the time that it's not just creating any kind of, you know, page. It's not just like being on Facebook or MySpace or Twitter, you know, because you have to work those pages.
Right.
You know, you have to really get out there and promote yourself. You know, it's not just about getting on there telling people you're frying chicken, because don't nobody want to hear about that. You know, if you have a fan page, it should be all about, you know, your upcoming dates and promoting your music and, you know, what's going on with you. What are some of the things that you kind of see that maybe artists, you know, independent artists miss in that area? How can, you know, if an artist is trying to do it themselves, how can they market and brand themselves a little better? What would you recommend for them to do when it comes to utilizing social media?
If you're working on a project right now, the goal is to identify your friends and start working on it, building your database now. To a certain degree, depending on your demos, to some demographics, emails are old. So you want to market it to your fans via email. If you have their cell phone numbers, create your text database, your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn, your MySpace. Start developing your fan base now and be able to hit them at all touch points and ask them to tell their friends to come join your site and get on the database as more of a personal endorsement. Don't wait until your project is done to try to collect all this information. So whenever you go out to a church or an event, or if you're a singer, you're singing at a lot of weddings, have a sheet of paper or create a log where it's the person's name, their email address, their cell phone number, email address, cell phone number, I can't think right now. The email and the cell phone number, so you can contact them. So you ask them to join your database. So as you go from event to event, if there's 300 people there, there's typically a 10% rule. 10% of the individuals are going to react and respond to your request. So if it's 300 people, and you sign up 30, if you're doing 10 gigs a month, you just collected 300 names. So if you do that over the course of the year, these are the people who took the time out to write down the information so they can stay in contact with you to support. And you want to dialogue with them on a regular basis. If it's, hey, how are you doing, or giving them a thought of the day, or giving them a scripture of the day, or if you're using your social media, giving them a free single that's exclusive to them, in order to keep them engaged and bring them back, not just use the information and then wait 6 months, 8 months to a year later to ask them to support you.
Okay. Now, Alvin, I want to shift gears a little bit. You know, I get asked all the time. I have a lot of artists that, you know, are assigned to indie labels, and sometimes they feel like they don't really have a say-so or any control over what is happening in their career. They look up and, you know, the label has racked up a lot of expenses that they didn't even know existed. Share with our listeners about how much they could be involved in the procedure when they're signed with the label, because, you know, a lot of times they don't get a lot of things, you know, placed in their contract, and, you know, they look up and they may have a successful song, but they have not made anything, and they're, you know, they have accrued a debt that they can't pay back.
Well, one of the main things you want to put in the contract is, even as a new artist with a solid team, and when I mean a solid team, if you have a solid attorney, that will work, a solid attorney or a solid manager, is, well, before I make that statement, let me make the second thing. Let me make this first statement and make the what I was going to say second. First, you have to care about your career in the business of music. That's the bottom line. You can't, the days are gone where you're just this artist, oh, I'm going to be an artist, I'm not going to deal with it, I just want to be creative and do my record, and they spend whatever they're going to spend. If you're not that type of artist, you deserve to be juked like that. That's the bottom line, because if you're not paying attention, the label's going to do what they need to do to push the record. And when that record doesn't work, guess what? They're going to drop you, and they're going to move on to another project. And so the second thing would be, with a experienced manager and an experienced attorney, you negotiate that anything that's spent over a certain dollar amount, it has to be presented to you. A marketing plan has to be presented to you with cost. You know, they're going to the Stella Awards, and it's the post, it's the pre-nominee dinner, and they want to manufacture flyers just to pass out. And if they want to manufacture 5,000, you're going to want to know what's the cost to, one, how much is it going to cost to design the flyer, two, how much is it going to cost to manufacture those flyers, how much is the shipping going to be, who are they going to pay to pass it out. So at the end of the day, 5,000 flyers can end up costing you $2,500. When all actuality in the real world, it could be cheaper than that. Because some labels have contracts in place that they just deal with certain companies. So you want to know what's going in, what that cost is going to be. If they want to do a 30-city radio tour, you need to ask question, well, how much is it going to cost? And if they want to fly you all over the place, then somebody needs to ask the question. It's like, no, you're not flying all over the place. Look, instead of flying me into all 30 markets, I noticed after looking at the routing, you can fly me into 10 markets, and certain markets I can drive to the. You can drive to the other city. So, you know, as a new artist, you got to be able to put your work in. You got to be able to want to be on the grind and drive some places yourself. And you don't want to stay in a 5 or 4-star hotel. You got a lot of clean Motel 6s. You got a lot of clean Hampton Inns, Marriott, because nobody's going to – nobody. When you go to a church to perform or a radio station, nobody cares where you stand. Nobody cares how – if you pull up in a limo or not. They just want to know if you're going to deliver on that stage and perform. And if they can remember you doing a great job, 9 times 10, they're going to pick up the tab the next time because they want you to come back. So you have to question. You have to question this spit and question it before it gets spit. If you don't care to question, then you shouldn't care to complain.
Absolutely. Now, Alvin, we got a couple of calls for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Our caller from area code 919, state your name and your question for Alvin. Caller from area code 919, you're on the air with Alvin. Hello? I guess they're a little shy, Alvin. We have another caller on the line, and they're from area code 336. State your name and your question for Alvin.
Hey, my name is Laquita, and I was calling in reference to creative ways for independent artists to put their projects out or things that are helpful to independent artists in putting their CDs out.
When you say creative ways,
I guess it's a twofold question. How to get a good project done on a budget, and then what ways now are, you know, do you want to send a music file to a radio station? Do you want to send a full packet? Things like that to get your music played.
Gotcha. Well, first you want to understand what kind of project you're going to do, understand what type of artist, what type of music you're going to do, what's your brand, what are you standing for. Not understanding what your budget is, I'll just answer it on a couple of levels. One, if you don't have any budget, literally no money, you try to identify an up-and-coming producer and who has their own equipment and gear, and cut a deal with them. It's like, look, I go in this 50-50 with you. I like the way you produce. I like the way you write. Can you work with me on this? And they say, yeah, get an attorney to draw up an agreement and work on a project. And if you're not a seasoned songwriter or if you want to identify some other songwriters, just call the different publishing companies and say, hey, I'm such and such artist. I'm looking for some songs. Can some of your songwriters send me some songs? And you just keep calling until you find a publisher who can find you some hit songs. At the end of the day, the music industry is about hit songs. That's it. You can have a well-produced song that is horrible. And the only thing I have is a well-produced, horrible song. But you can have an underproduced, great song, and that song will still be great. And then the other thing, if you have a small budget, you can work with a producer on the same level. This is my budget. Will you take a flat fee? If they take a flat fee, then get a contract drawn up that says so. And you pay them as a work for hire, and you own all the masters. Even on the first scenario, you may do an agreement where both of you guys co-own the masters until you sell enough units where it meets the threshold where you can automatically buy them out based on the money that he generates. So if you have a significant budget, then you can go hire two or three producers to produce on your project. And then you may want to use a couple of new and upcoming producers, and then you may want to use the significant part of your budget to hire an emerging or established producer to give you some industry credibility as you go to radio. Now, as far as creative ways to market your project, there's really no creative ways to it. You're gonna have to pay. You're gonna have to pay somebody to work your project at radio. 9 times out of 10, radio is not going to talk to an artist. They do not like dealing with artists who pitch their song to them. And unless you have just a great relationship with the music director in your area or another city, then it's a whole different story. Because if you're calling as an artist, a lot of times the challenging part about radio is that you can be an independent artist, and it could be a hit song, and you may have some, and it's been known that some program directors will support local artists. And typically, if there's a radio station that's locally owned, they have a mandate to support local artists. And if they do play it, you know, it'll play for only so long, because if you can sell it locally, you can satisfy the consumer in that market where the record's being played. But let's say you're in Atlanta and you live here, and you can go to the different mom and pops or the different ways to sell your project, or you're touring enough at churches locally, that the radio station's not going to get mad. They'll keep playing the record. But if you get the single played in Richmond, Virginia, you get it played in New York, and they crank it up to high rotation, but if their listeners can't buy the project, even online, then you can't support it, and then the radio station is going to pull the single. And the reason they're going to pull the single is because their listeners are calling in, why you keep playing music I can't buy? So it's really no creative way. You could take it one market at a time, and every market typically has some type of relationship at radio, but you just have to find that person. If you're serious about it, you just got to save your dollars and really work the project from a local, regional, or national basis.
Well, we thank you so much, caller, for calling in and asking your question to Alvin. I hope that you got the answers you were looking for.
Yes, ma'am. It was great information. Thank you so much,
All right,
Alvin.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Alvin, we're going to try this again. Caller from area code 919-272, state your name and your question for Alvin.
Hey, Wanda. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Kim.
I'm just calling. This information has been so awesome. I'm so glad I'm tuned in tonight, because I am so encouraged to know that some of the very things that he has been talking about, I have been doing them. I've been in the music industry for, 10 years, and this is my third project, and I'm so honored to be working with Marketing Ministries, and I'm just so excited about having the opportunity to tune in tonight to hear this good information that I know that I'm doing and still have yet more to do, and I appreciate that tonight.
All right, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much. You got a question for Alvin? You know, I want to tell the listeners we're running out of time. The show's getting ready to end, and we have a full queue. This is a time for you to call in and ask, because, you know, you're getting free information, and this can make a difference in what you're doing. So, Kim, do you have a question for Alvin?
Actually, the question that I probably would ask is, if you are, well, I am an independent artist, and I'm receiving airplay, and you, I think earlier you said in over 10 locations. I think we're doing pretty good, and I'm just trying to come up with what are some other ways that I can continue to keep my name out there with not just radio. I have marketing in place, but it just seems like I'm supposed to be doing something else. Is there any other suggestions or any other things as the artist that I can be doing to kind of continue to keep my name out there?
If what I suggest is, wherever you created some type of foundation, is you just exploit that foundation in that market that is in. So if you're on radio and how many of the markets you're in, then you may want to give a phone call to that radio station, or have your radio promoter or management, whoever is dialogue with the radio station. And when they do their radio calls, to ask the PD, it's like, who's the local gospel promoter in that town? Or who are the churches who are friendly to artists performing at their churches? And then once they give you that individual names of those churches, then you can call those churches and say, hey, my name is such and such and such. I'm on the radio station that's in your marketplace, and I'm the one who sings that song Jesus told me to call you so I can play in your church. And they're gonna say, oh, that's you, because what happens today is that radio, they don't back announce. And what back announce mean is they won't say, hey, you're just listening to Wanda's new single on such and such and such. They just play the record and go on. So if you can start calling the churches, or even ask the radio station what events they coming up where you can perform for free. And if you go on there, mark and perform for free at a radio event, just call and see if you can book a church and to make back your expenses. So it's just even if you can keep going back in that same market 1, 2, 10 times, just keep going back, because with your single, it's just going to only support what you're doing, and you should be able to generate revenue. And don't be scared to go in for a love offering. I've seen more artists make more money on love offerings than asking that, you know, you got to pay me $2,000 for me to come in. Because when you go in and rip the church, everybody's so happy, and they'll give.
Yes.
And when they give, they're going to end up calling you back.
Okay.
Amen.
That's awesome. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And you guys have a wonderful night, and thank you for sharing tonight.
You do the same.
Thank you, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
That was some really good advice. I didn't think of that one myself, Alan. You just enlightened me, you know. and that's why you're Mr. Entertainment. That is a really, really good idea to tell our listeners that, you know, when radio is playing you, to call them and find out what churches are friendly in their area and away from them to get into the door. And then also, because, you know, that's one thing that I tell all my clients is, you know, it's better to ask for a love offering than to give a set honorarium. Because, you know, the churches, I guess since the shifting of the economy, they're becoming wiser too. And they're not paying people $3,500 and $4,500 to come in there to minister in song anymore.
Oh, no. And because the reason they're not doing it anymore, one of the main reasons is that artists, I don't care who you are, they spend $30,000, $40,000 for you to come in. They weren't recouping that money. And a lot of them, they bring an artist in for ministry and not to necessarily make a profit. So what they end up finding out that instead of paying an artist $5,000, $7,500, $10,000, or $30,000, they'll hold a conference and pay a minister $20,000, $30,000, and that minister would pack out the church. They got registration and the whole nine, and not only they recoup their money, they generate revenue for the church, because that pastor or that minister they're bringing in, or that conference as a whole, is more valuable than just bringing a egotistical artist that comes in and wants to try to and preach instead of singing and doing what they need to do and not selling tickets.
Absolutely. And one thing that churches are becoming very wise in, Alvin, is that now, and I see a lot of this has happened since the shifting of the economy as well, is that they will charge you a percentage to sell your CDs.
Yep, exactly. They sure will.
So I think, you know, as an artist, you know, and I tell, you know, my clients all the time, you need to know the industry and then also know ministry, because it's different than going into a church than doing a concert.
Right.
Well, Alvin, we're coming down to the close of our show. As always, you know, times always goes by really quickly when you're having a good time. We had a full queue tonight. I know that you blessed our listeners immensely. And, you know, if people want to reach out to you and they want additional information, where can our listeners follow you and find out what's going on with A. Williams Entertainment?
They can follow me on Twitter at Alvin Z. Williams, or they can go to my Facebook at Alvin Williams, and that's the best way to keep up with me. And I'm always, you know, giving nuggets of information and answering emails and the whole nine on Facebook, or responding back to Twitter messages. So it's actually the best way to get me.
And for those listeners that have children, tell our listeners where they can tune in to My Destiny's Place, which is produced by your wife. So tell our listeners where they can catch that wonderful children's programming show.
They can catch My Destiny's Place every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Daystar, and then they can catch it every Saturday morning at 11:30 Central Standard Time on the NRB network, which is which you can catch on DirecTV, and then you can catch it on the VTN network, where you can go to vtntv.com. It comes on Fridays at 3:30 p.m. Central Time. So that's Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, and Mississippi.
Well, Alvin, once again, thank you for hanging out with us. You know, I always appreciate when you stop by and hang out with us here on Marketing Ministries Radio Show. We don't take you for granted. We know you're really busy, and we hope that you will join us again for another segment of Ask Alvin.
Sure will. Just reach out to Phyllis. We'll make it happen, and thank you for having me, and thanks for thinking of me.
All right. Well, listeners, I hope you really enjoyed Alvin Williams. He's a man just full of wisdom. He's a man of God, and he's not going to tell you anything that will not benefit you. So we just thank him for hanging out with us. And until next time, I want you just to be encouraged and don't be afraid to market your ministry. See you next week, same place, same time.
What he said and all his promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your feet.